Today's date is November 26, year 2006, and we're celebrating the last Sunday after Pentecost, which this year happens to be the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. And I'm going to just read through Matthew chapter 24, which deals with final day prophecies, especially as it's pertinent to the final days that we are living through at this very moment. So we're going to make a comment on these verses as we go along, and I'm going to read through the chapter. But I just want to make a comment to people out there that the most important thing that you have to be worried about before apocalyptic prophecies and all that is the salvation of your own soul, which means you must learn the Catholic faith or the Church's dogmas, and you must live a moral life, obey all of God's commandments. That's really the first thing. And that's why God has me first doing here in Mary's Little Remnant, laying out the full deposit of the Catholic faith and teaching people how to live a good Catholic life. That's the most important thing. Apocalyptic prophecies come second. You can know everything there is to know about the apocalypse. You can know exactly who the Antichrist is, and you can know all the events that are going to take place just as they're going to take place, because even the devil knows that, and you're going to go to hell. And I warn sign and wonder seekers about this, because some of these people, that's all they want to hear is apocalyptic prophecies, but they don't want to learn the Catholic faith and live the Catholic life. And that's why I purposely have not dwelt so much on these things, but I have spoken about them on my website. You will find me talking about this, but it's not the primary thing. You can die tomorrow before the Antichrist comes to power, and these other events are going to take place that we're going to read about, and you'll go to hell. So, you know, these events didn't take place in the past generations of Catholics, and it's not something that they absolutely needed to know to save their souls. They don't. But the one thing you do need to know, and I don't want to downplay apocalyptic prophecies neither, nor conspiracies, because there's conspiracies throughout the world from the beginning of fall of mankind, the Garden of Eden. And a Catholic's duty when he evangelizes is not just to profess the Catholic truth, but to expose the conspiracies of the enemies who are liars, and to show the people out in the world how they lie and how they're false. So evangelizing is a two-edged sword. It's preaching the truth, and it's exposing the liars, the deceivers, the conspirators. And quite simply, anybody who's not Catholic is a conspirator against God. Anybody. And you have some conspirators who are even more dangerous than others. And as we know, in these final days, the apostate Jews, Talmudic Jews, are the most evil, dangerous conspirators, because Jesus said it was they who will bring the Antichrist to power, because they rejected him who was the true Christ. Okay, so now I just, in the future, I have a lot of the book of the apocalypse and all the trumpets and all the vials and the plagues, and I have all these things already being written, but it's not time for me to go into this extensively. First, the Catholic faith has to be presented on the website, and I have to deal with all the most important topics in that area and teach people how to live a Catholic life, and those things will be written. But I am going to give you a little brief something on it as we go through Matthew chapter 24, which has a whole lot of stuff in here telling us about these final days. But before I start at the beginning, I want to start near the end. Well, not near the end, actually, it's in the middle, where our Lord Jesus Christ is talking to them about these final days, and he says like this: "And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender, and the leaves come forth, you know that the summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh, even unto the doors." Okay? So he's saying, and Jesus is giving us these apocalyptic prophecies so that we would be aware of them. And even all past generations, even though they didn't live through it, they were expecting it, waiting for it, looking for it, watching out for it. Our Lord didn't tell us this information so that we should be totally ignorant of it. We have to know this also. So again, I'm not downplaying these things. If you don't really know the prophecies and you don't care about them at all, you're going to be fooled by the Antichrist, and you deserve it. You know, a lot of people are afraid to address these things. That's another type of person who doesn't want to look at these things because they're afraid of the end of the world, but they don't really have any faith in God. Because the end of the world is a great blessing for all God's chosen people. It's not a horrible day. It's the greatest day of all. And it's a terrible day to those who don't serve God. So Jesus in here, my point is this, is telling us about these things so that we should know them. And this is to refute these other people in the traditionalist movement who don't want to have anything to do with apocalyptic prophecies or conspiracies. These guys are heretics themselves. I say you're a heretic if you deny conspiracies, because it's a fact. It's a part of life that Satan exists and he conspires against God's chosen people. It's heresy if you don't believe in these things. So at the same time, these apocalyptic prophecies are important, because it's going to help us to expose the enemies of God in these days that are dominating the whole world. I just put that out there to tell you, Jesus is telling us this so that there are signs, definite signs, in which we can know that we're living in the final days. And we're going to go over those now, starting with verse 1 and read on. Now this is Matthew 24, verse 1 we start out. "And Jesus being come on to the temple went away, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. And he answering said to them, Do you see all of these things? Amen, I say to you, there shall not be left here a stone upon a stone that shall not be destroyed. And that's the prophecy of the fall of the temple in 70 AD. And when he was sitting on the Mount Olivet, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of the coming and of the consummation of the world? They're asking Jesus, what are the signs that we can know that that the final days are upon us and that you're about to come the second time and dominate the whole world with your kingdom? And Jesus answering said to them, Take heed that no man seduce you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and they will seduce many. Now, after the Jews rejected Christ as the true Messiah, and everybody else who didn't believe in the true Christ, but in particular we're talking about the Jews now, because in their prophecies, the apostate Jews are looking forward to the Messiah, the Christ, even today they are. But we know they missed the boat, because the true Christ was Jesus who came the first time. So he's saying, beware of these Jews that have not accepted me as the true Christ. Okay? Because they're going to bring in people that are false Christs, and they're going to pretend to be the Messiah. And we had that happen in, I don't recall, 132, I think, I forget the name of it, Bar Kochba, I think, Rebellion. He pretended to be the Messiah, and he was overthrown and destroyed. And then in 310, you had there was another Jew pretending to be the Messiah, and they were going to rebuild the temple, and God didn't allow it to happen. Every time they tried to rebuild the temple, God sent flames up from the bottom of the temple and didn't allow them to rebuild the temple. And who, I forget that particular person's name.
Julian the Apostate. Right?
Julian the Apostate was under that, but there was a Jew that was pretending to be the Messiah at that time. I don't know his name. But that 310 was 300 was under Julian the Apostate.
Right.
In the year 300, 330 or whenever that was. But we're just mentioning to you a few. If you look at the history of Talmudic Judaism, Menachem Schneerson recently in Brooklyn, New York, claimed to be the Messiah. Okay? And he died. And all his followers still believe he's the Messiah and he's going to raise up again. Now, we could use that against the Jews and say, okay, you guys are wrong, but if you were arguing in the beginning that you didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah because he died, and how could the Messiah die? Well, now you're admitting that the Messiah could die and come up again like Menachem Schneerson. You know what I mean? Because some Jews don't believe the Messiah. He comes first, and the only time he comes is a conquering king. He never dies. But Isaiah says he needs to die for the redemption of sins. But these Jews know that. They do believe the Messiah has to suffer. So they say Menachem Schneerson suffered. He died. He's going to rise again. Okay, so then why didn't you accept Christ when it happened to him, the real Messiah, with all his miracles? So now Jesus is clearly telling us there's going to be a lot of false Christ coming. Now, every Protestant presents a false Christ. Now, this is something people know. Every time a Protestant religion breaks off, Protestants rebel, these Catholics leave the church and become Protestants and start a Protestant religion, they are preaching a false Christ. You know, we read this in 1 John 4:3. Every spirit that dissolves Jesus is not of God, and this is the Antichrist. And he says that there's many people who present false Christs. So every Protestant is presenting a false Messiah, a false Christ. Every Hindu or Buddhist who says that we have a Savior amongst the Hindu religions or the Buddhist religions or any religion that puts forward a man who's going to be a type of a Messiah is a false Christ. You have Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, all these guys that are offering other ways to salvation and presenting these people as Saviors or Christs. These are all false Christs. Now, we know the only true Christ is the Christ of the Catholic Church. That solves it for everybody out there. Stop looking anywhere else, and we're going to save you a lot of headaches and a lot of problems. If people are only the Catholic Christ is the true Christ, okay, and that's it. Every other Christ is false. So don't even be looking towards the Talmud of Jews or the apostate Jews, because we know they're going to bring forth false Christ, false prophets. And we know that the Talmud of Jews are actually going to be the main agents bringing the Antichrist to power, as our Lord said in John 5:43 to the Talmud, the unbelieving Jews then, I come in the name of the Father and you receive me not. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. So God says, I will now curse you because you have not accepted me, and you're going to be the ones who are going to bring to power the main Antichrist, the man of perdition, son of sin, the big A Antichrist, not all these miniature Antichrists. So Christ is warning here. He says there's going to be many, he's going to come saying, I am the Christ, and they will seduce many. And he says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be pestilence and famines and earthquakes in places. Now, the War of the Worlds, World War I, World War II was the ultimate nations rising up against nations in a way that has never been done before. The greatest massacres and the greatest world wars taking place in World War I. That's a prophecy. You've already seen that happening. And he goes like this, and you see also famines, you see pestilence, you see earthquakes, we see all those things. Now Jesus says, now all these things are the beginnings of the sorrows. Then they shot, and there was also a nation rising up against nation even before that, you know. But this is the culmination. This happened to be a real Wallapalooza or world war that we had, you know. And the Jews needed to have these two world wars to bring the United Nations to power, all right, and to get the state of Israel and to usher in the Antichrist. But that's another topic. And he says in 9, he says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall put you to death, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. We mentioned this briefly last week. If we few Catholics are going to be hated by all nations, that means all nations are not Catholic. Because Catholic nations do not persecute Catholics. There's a sign, well, I'm not going to go into that in detail, we did it last week, proving that in this final days there is not one Catholic nation in the whole world. They're all going to follow the Antichrist. We did that last week, you can listen to that sermon. So all the nations gathered together under the banner of the Antichrist are going to hate us, persecute us. He says, and then they shall be scandalized, and they shall betray one another, and they shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and seduce many. All the false teachers that led into this apostasy, this false church out there that calls itself Catholic, the Vatican II Church, apostate anti-pope Benedict XVI, and all the apostate anti-popes of the Vatican II Church are all false prophets. And they are the biggest seducers of everybody. Because you need this false prophet who is going to be somebody pretending to be a pope in the V2 Church, whether it's Benedict XVI or a future so-called pope in the Vatican II Church, who's no true pope at all, but an apostate, he's going to be the false prophet. But all these false prophets, as particularly the most dangerous ones, come from the Vatican II Church because they're preaching a false Catholicism. And because of the great authority that the Catholic Church really had, really does have, or had in the world at one time, but now there is no hierarchy, and they've taken those positions, they have now seduced the whole world into this false ecumenism and religious indifferentism, where all religions are being gathered together by the Vatican II Church. These are the worst of the false prophets, but they're not the only ones. You have the Talmud of Jewish false prophets. You have the Zionist false prophets. You have the Hindus and the Buddhists. You have a whole bunch of false prophets, but I just mentioned to you some of the main ones. And he says, the false prophets shall rise and seduce many. And because iniquity hath abounded, the charity of many shall grow cold. But he that shall persevere to the end, he shall be saved. Charity grow cold. People will, we've never heard the word love used more than today, but it's the most loveless, hating society. They hurt one another, they sin against one another, they persecute. It's a vicious, savage world we're living in where there's no true love. Anybody who has some goodwill can see that. It's a loveless world. True love, not the fake love they're telling you about. And so, indeed, charity has grown cold. He says, here's a key verse. He goes, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony to all nations, and then shall the consummation come. This is an important verse, very important verse. Because Jesus is saying, first, before the end of the world comes, the gospel has to be preached throughout the nations, which has already been done. Okay? And then once all the nations have heard the gospel, then comes the consummation. We also know that at the same time, the nations are going to fall away. We'll get into that in a moment. Now, we're going to read the parallel verse to that from Luke 21:24, talking about the consummation of the world comes. There's not going to be a re-preaching, and God's not going to go out and try to reconvert the world once they fall away. So there's one that takes place, a preaching to all the nations, and then comes the consummation. So now you can go back to the time before they discovered the New World, the Americas, when they thought that they literally went through all the nations, but they really didn't. And they didn't know you had an American continent. Columbus was the first to discover that. Now, if you lived in the back of that day, you might have thought we could be in the final days because they had some plagues and pestilence and nations were fighting nations. But one of the prophecies was not fulfilled. The gospel was not yet preached to all nations. It had to reach the Americas. There is now no nation that has not had the Catholic gospel preached it. None. The fact that they rejected it and are no longer Catholic, that's another issue. The issue is the gospel was preached to them. They had their opportunity, and now the whole world has rejected the gospel and went into apostasy, which is, again, another prophecy to falling away to Gentile nations. My point on that is Jesus doesn't say there's going to be another re-preaching and a total reconversion of the whole world and another Holy Roman Empire. He says, then will be the days of the Antichrist. Because once the world's given a chance to hear the Catholic gospel, and then once the world totally rejects her and all the nations, then comes the end of the world, the time of the Antichrist. We read in Luke 21:24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captives into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles till the times of the nations be fulfilled. Now this is very, very important. Because what our Lord says in here, the gospel gets preached to all the nations, and I have other verses in here that talk about the falling away of the Gentile nations. They call it the fullness of the Gentiles. St. Paul talks about it in Romans 11. He says, be not high-minded, you Gentile converts, and be not too against these apostate Jews. You better still pray for the conversion, by the grace of God, there go you. And I know that at the end of the world, you're going to reject the Lord just like the Jews did. And then God's going to reopen up conversion to the Jews and then close it to you, proving that no nation or no race really proves worthy, that each individual has to be saved by his faith in God, and it's not your race that saves you. So the falling away of the Gentile nations is a key to the end time prophecy. And what you're reading about here, our Lord says, until the fullness of the nations shall be fulfilled, Jerusalem will be held down. But when the nations have been fulfilled, meaning the preaching has gone out to all the nations have now rejected our Lord in mass, Jerusalem will rise again with the apostate Jews in the state of Israel in 1947, I think it was created. That's a fulfillment of this prophecy. Jerusalem is no longer trodden down. The Jews have reoccupied Israel in 1947, and at the end of World War II, there were then no more true Catholic nations in the world at all. Everything was gone. The fullness of the Gentile nations had fallen away, and God has allowed Jerusalem then to be reoccupied by the apostate Jews. And most people who even study the Bible, even Protestant heretics, recognize that as this final time sign. Only they look at it as a different way. They look at that as a blessing to the Jews and not a curse. It's actually a curse. Because Jesus said in Luke 6:22-22, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often will I gather thy children together as a bird that are brood under thy wings, but thou wouldest not. Behold, thy house shall be left desolate. And I say unto thee that you shall not see me until the day come when you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus was prophesying, when I cast you out of Jerusalem, you are not allowed to reoccupy Jerusalem in the Holy Land because you are no longer worthy. Until you say, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, that means until you become Catholic and accept the true Christ. Now, people say, well then how come God allowed it to happen? Because at the same time, and we're going to read on in this, he says there's going to be an abomination of desolation in a place where it does not belong. But at this time, our Lord's saying, but he says, read here, he says, and they shall fall by the edges, and there shall be led away captives. This is the Jews. The Jews shall fall by the sword. The Jews shall be captives throughout all the nations, which they were, exiled under the curse because of their disobedience to God into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles. He shall not have occupation of Jerusalem till the times of the nations is filled. And our Lord even says in here, once the gospel is preached to all nations, and then he's rejected, the consummation, the end of the world comes. So, and the United Nations was the actual, one of the instruments that the Jews used to gather together all the nations to do their bidding. And not since the end of World War II were they able to get these, what I call, final day events. All the final day events took place after World War II, but we're not going to dwell on that too much. Now we're learning clearly here that the occupation of Israel is a sign, indeed, that not only has the gospel been preached throughout the whole world, but that all the nations and all the Gentile nations have rejected the gospel. They're no longer Catholic. Everybody that's out there that calls himself Catholic is an actual apostate, just like a lot of the Jews in the beginning who said they were faithful Jews, but were not. So we're living in this, that's another final day sign standing right down the barrel. The state of Israel, 1947. Final days. It's also telling you, and there's not going to be another reconquering of the world to the gospel. It's now the days of the Antichrist. So our Lord says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony to all nations, and then shall the consummation come, the end of the world, he says, the final day events. And here, right after, she says, when therefore you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Abomination in the holy place, Jerusalem. Alright, and when they're going to build the third temple, you're going to see the Antichrist sitting right in that temple, pretending that he is the true Christ. In the holy place. The holy place where the true temple, the second temple, sat, which Jesus came into. They're going to build a third one and put the Antichrist in there. That is the abomination of desolation in a place where he doesn't belong. And the state of Israel is an abomination of desolation in a place where it doesn't belong, because the apostate Jews first have to occupy and control Israel before they can rebuild Jerusalem in particular. That's what the real heated battle is over, so that they can rebuild the third temple and bring Antichrist in there. So our Lord's telling you, when all these things, the consummation comes, the state of Israel is created. Here's the creation of the state of Israel right here. But it's not yet the Antichrist. It's the paving of the road. The abomination of desolation here is the Antichrist. But first you need to have Israel occupied. So there's a forewarning to us of what's going to come up and what's going to happen. And he says this, Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. So we know that this holy place isn't Rome. Some people say it's Rome, and it's not heresy to believe it may be Rome. We do have abomination of desolation sitting in Rome right now, false prophets. And they're bringing the Antichrist to power. But all the prophecies put together, everything points to Jerusalem. Even here our Lord says, this abominable desolation that we're talking about, he's going to be in Judea. And our Lord's saying, when you see that happen, when the Antichrist does sit in that third temple, you better get out of there quick. You better run like you've never run before. Because now all hell's going to break loose. All the devils from hell, all the Antichrist is going to be at his full power, and he's going to really start raging. So he says, then they that are in Judea, let them flee the mountains. And he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back and take his coat. And woe to them that are with child, and that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter or in the Sabbath. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until neither shall be. So when the Antichrist comes to power, he's going to wreak such havoc. He's going to destroy whole nations. He's going to destroy blocks of people. He's going to be the most vicious tyrant that we can even imagine. If you can put all the evil tyrants together, he's going to equal them and even best them. And that's going to happen. Right? And we already have the preparation of that by the creation of the State of Israel in 1947, which doesn't belong there. And this is all a just punishment from God against bad Catholics and fallen away Catholics who think they're Catholics. God's going to let the Antichrist be his minister of justice and rip these people to shreds because they deserve it. Because they rebelled against God, and God's now going to let the devil tear them to pieces. And this is a warning to those of goodwill, not just Catholics. If everybody who's of goodwill hears what I'm speaking right now, this is for you, a warning to you. Come into the Catholic Church now before it's too late. It's the only place where you're going to, first of all, save your soul. That's the first thing. And be protected against the deceits of the Antichrist. So even if he should defeat you and beat you, you'll go straight to heaven as a martyr. There's no other weapon against the Antichrist but Catholicism and the Catholic Church. Now, he's talking about that great tribulation. And 22, Jesus says, and unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. So we're looking at a limited nuclear attack here, in which God has to put the bridle on these people. So if they went totally crazy and God let them do whatever they wanted and didn't interfere, they'd literally blow up the whole earth. So you are going to get limited nuclear attacks, and I do believe you're going to see New York City, Washington, D.C., and Rome, Vatican City, get obliterated by limited nuclear attacks from the Antichrist when he comes to power. Because he no longer wants any vestiges of Catholicism left, not even the false church that calls itself Catholic, does he want that to be left standing there. We have many prophecies that Vatican City is going to fall. And again, it's a parallel of what Nebuchadnezzar did to the Jews in the Old Testament when he destroyed their temple. But you're going to see limited nuclear strikes. You may even have some people of nuclear weapons trying to fight back. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. And that's going to provoke maybe an all-out nuclear war in which God has to intervene and at least stop that from happening, or mankind would wipe everybody off the face of the earth. But for the sake of the elect, God says, I will stop that, so Antichrist will not be able to destroy it. Antichrist doesn't want to destroy the whole earth, neither. He covets the earth. That's all Antichrist has. All the devil has is the earth. He loves the earth. He doesn't want to lose it. So he is not dead bent. He doesn't want to destroy the earth. Now, us Catholics, we don't care because you can blow up the whole earth. God's going to recreate a new one. It don't matter to us. The land doesn't matter to us. Our real home is in heaven in the new paradise to come. But you've got to understand here, the Antichrist is very scared of having the world being blown up because it's all he's got. Satan has been confined only to this world and he wants to be master of the world. You take this world away from the devil, the Antichrist, he ain't got nothing. He's going to be an eternal hell for eternity, but even now, this heyday that he has, he's going to be destroying it on his own self. So he doesn't want to destroy the world. But there's going to be forces fighting against him that are going to possibly provoke things in which he's going to, a world nuclear war, some other. That's why you see them trying to limit North Korea and Iran from getting nuclear bombs, because they know that they're not in the camp of the total Antichrist, even though they're Antichrist, the Iranians, because they're Muslims, they're not as bad as the Jewish Antichrist, who have the most power. And you're going to see these little limited conflicts back and forth. But the point is, God's not going to let the earth be destroyed for the sake of the elect. And plus, he's going to reconquer the earth anyway. Then he goes on to say that, he said, then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, do not believe him. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even elect. Again, we get back to they're going to be bringing up false Christ, there's not the true Christ. The non-Catholic, the only, as we say, the only true Christ is the Catholic Christ. Any other Christ that's presented to us is a false Christ. Any false prophet, even if he professes to be Catholic, if he's a heretic, he cannot be a true prophet. He's not Catholic, he's a heretic. Don't follow him. He's not preaching the true Christ. And our Lord says, and he's going to tell us one of the signs what we're going to see when the real Christ comes. This is a real, very important thing. We're going to get onto this next, but let me just call you right here about the false sign, the signs and wonders that are going to deceive almost the whole world. He's going to do what appears to be, to many people, miracles. And you're not going to know the difference between miracles and the trickery of the devil. Because we don't have the power of the fallen angels. They still have great power to deceive us by trickery. What appears to be miracles. And he's going to do very many great things like that. And people are going to be deceived. Now he says, there's two interpretations on this. My original one was that he may deceive the elect for a season, but I really don't believe it means that. He's saying, if possible, he would even deceive the elect. It doesn't mean he's going to deceive the elect. Would you say, but if it were possible, he's going to have such great signs and wonders that even the elect would have been deceived. He's not saying the elect would be deceived, only that it's possible that they may be deceived if it was, it's that great. But he's not saying necessarily that will happen. That it's going to approach, only the elect are going to be the only ones that aren't going to be deceived. You know, or those of goodwill may be out there. There's elect too. We're not talking just Catholics. You can have Talmudic Jews and Muslims out there that are of the elect, that haven't converted yet, that aren't going to be deceived. Now, you can also interpret it to mean that some of the elect may really be deceived for a while. And they're going to have to convert. But I don't really hold to that opinion anymore. Either one's a vile opinion. Because anybody who's really of the elect is going to listen to what these people are preaching. And when they hear heresy, they're not going to be fooled by it. A real person who's a true good Catholic and knows his dogmas is not going to be able to be trapped by the Antichrist. So if you hold on to the full deposit of the Catholic faith, every one of her dogmas, and you're living a moral life, you're not going to be fooled by the Antichrist. And even goodwill people out there will not be fooled by him. We do see people out there opposing the one world government that are not Catholic today. And those are the people we have to try to convert the most. And I believe amongst them you're going to see some goodwill people that are really going to listen to what we have to say when our God, the one true God, the God of the Catholic Church, manifests his power and miracles in opposition to the Antichrist. Then we're going to start getting, you watch how many conversions will come in from these groups. It's because, and God's already given them some actual graces for not being duped by the ultimate evildoers, which is the Talmudic Jews and the Masons in the United States that are the worst of all. So, now he goes on to say, behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, behold, he is in the desert, go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. It's to say, oh, Jesus just came and he's over here. He's in the desert. He's in Jerusalem. He's in the temple. He's in the third temple. He's here. He's there. If anybody tries to tell you the Christ, the Messiah, is anywhere on this earth, do not believe him if he's not the Catholic Christ. And I'll tell you, and here's another thing. Don't believe him if he just comes about in some type of a natural way, worse than this guy's reigning, and he's brought to power through some political machinations of the Jews, or however he comes to power. Because here's what our Lord tells us, how are you going to know about the true Christ? First, he's the Catholic Christ. That's the most important thing. But there's a very important verse that follows right here, he says. For as lightning cometh out of the east and appeareth even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be so dramatic. So powerful, you're going to see light. It's going to be like a lightning bolt from the east to the west. He's going to light up all the skies with his whole army behind him, and there's going to be no mistaking it's the Christ. Because even before that happens, there's going to be such darkness upon the earth that there's a darkness that you've never had before from the beginning of time. The sun's going to fall, the earth, maybe it's the sun may fall or be covered, the moon's going to fall or may be covered, and all the stars are going to fall. And I believe they're all going to fall to the earth. It's in Scripture that that will happen. And then the sun and the moon and the stars will no longer give their light. And then when you're in this immense darkness, everybody's going to be shaking in their boots. Those who aren't Catholic are going to be fearful what's going to happen. Us Catholics are going to know what's happening. We're going to put our confidence in the Lord. And the next light that you're going to see that enlightens up the whole world is Christ coming like lightning with his army behind him and the Blessed Mother lighting up the whole earth and the heavens. That's how dramatic the coming of the true Christ is going to be, the Catholic Christ. So if you're going to look at some political people says, hey, we got a guy over here who professes to be the Messiah. You know, and he did a few phony miracles that even looked pretty good, maybe. But they're bringing him to power. But he didn't do what you're hearing here. That there's no darkness, like you've never seen, that the sun didn't fall, the moon didn't fall, the stars didn't fall. You don't have this darkness. He ain't Christ, pal. Get away from the guy. I don't care how much money you back on this guy, how much publicity you have, how much you make him think he's the true Christ. He's a phony baloney. And anybody that professes to be a Christ or a Messiah, run from that guy. Just run, period. Now, anybody who's not even Catholic, I'm just giving you a sign here to understand what the second coming of Christ is going to be like. But I'm also making it easy for you now to let you know that The true Christ is only the Catholic Christ. He's not even a Protestant Christ. The Protestant Christ is a false Christ. And they're even worse than the Jews, but we're not going to go off on that now. Now, that's a very important thing to understand, because when we see this Antichrist come to power in Jerusalem, I'm going to say, anybody, even if you're not Catholic yet, even according to you go by the Scripture, even if you're a Protestant, because the Protestants are being fooled by the Zionists today. They think you're blessed. And I told you the occupation of Israel is not a blessing, but a curse. They think it's a blessing. But my point is this. When he does come to power, and that Jew starts going near the Protestant, and even these fallen away Catholics are going to start to adore him, because all was going to adore him. And wait a second, you even profess to believe in the Bible, don't you? Yes. Did the stars fall? Did the sun fall yet? Did the moon fall yet? Now, there may be a minor period of darkness before that, but not like what I'm talking about here. We're going to read this in a minute. We're talking about sun falling, moon falling, stars falling, and then light. Did he come like lightning after these darkness? Didn't happen. Sorry. That's one of the signs that I have to be looking for. Okay, so Jesus has given us all these things to watch out for. And boy, we don't even know how many false Christs. Anybody who's not with Christ really is a false Christ. Hindus, Buddhists, I don't care who's this Dalai Lama over there? He's a false Christ. Dalai Lama. Who is he? He's a false Christ. Allah. He's a false Christ. The false Christ. Anybody, these are our guys all pretending to be saviors of the world. All false religions have false Christ. But the one we have to be more careful about is really the Protestant one, because he tries to profess in the true Christ, but he really doesn't. That's the sneaky one. That Protestant, and the Vatican true Christ. That ain't the real Christ. That church that calls it Catholic and Rome that now, they're worshiping the Antichrist, really, not the real Christ. Now, our Lord says, right after that, verse 28, wheresoever the body shall be gathered, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. When Christ comes the second time, the angels are then going to go out and gather together all the elect from the four corners of the earth and bring them to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, where there's going to be the general judgment. And he's going to leave behind, and there's the other prophecy about, I think it's in Luke 13:38 or Matthew, I forget what the exact verse is. And he says, the angels shall go out and separate the wicked from among the just, and they shall gather them together, and they shall cast them into the furnace of fire. So there's going to be, when Christ comes the second time, the angels are going to go out and literally pick up every person who's a Catholic, wherever he's in the world, and gather them by their hair, like they did with Baruch the prophet, and took him into Daniel's lion den. Or who was it? Habakkuk. When he took Habakkuk, Sister Marie just pointed that out. And you see, we all read our Bible here, you see? Habakkuk. Okay, and when the angel picked up Habakkuk, goodbye to here and brought him in. So anyway, this gathering is going to take place. And not just of the elect, but even the evildoers, because God's going to then, you're going to have the general judgment. And that's why he says, wherever the body is, there are the eagles. So wherever Christ comes, the angels are going to gather together everybody and prepare them for the general judgment day. And it goes like this, as we go on. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, here we go with the 3 days. Now we're back to this tribulation thing. Of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be moved. And we read that St. Paul says in St. Peter 3:10, and he says, the coming of man shall be like in the days, shall come as a thief. And the heavens shall pass away with great violence, and the elements shall be melted with a great heat, and the earth and the works that are there shall be burnt up. So 1 Peter sees the heavens passing away in violence and melting with a great heat, coming down and dissipating down the earth and causing fire upon the earth on top of it. And then, that's another falling down, dissipation, passing away in the heavens. And boy, you can see when that happens. And that's going to be, when that happens, that's the immediate thing that's going to happen before Christ's second coming. And without Christ, you never going to have light upon the earth at all. And think how beautiful this is, because our Lord says, He's a true light, which enlighteneth every man that cometh into the world. As I said before, in Apocalypse, it says the New Jerusalem has no sun, it has no moon, it needs no light. The light is Christ Himself. And that light shines inside of every one of us. So wherever we walk around, we light up everything around us. We're like walking lanterns, literally, along with the enlightenment of grace. Literal light. Anybody who has seen saints in heaven, see them as shining lights. And some saints are brighter than others, as one star is brighter than another adult. But they all shine off with light. Now that's a big thing for people to be listening here. And when something like that happens, then you know that Christ is ready to come. Now whether God's going to give people, we don't, some people say 3 days of darkness. I don't know. It doesn't really tell you how long it's going to be. Whether it's 3 days or not, it's going to be this intense darkness. And we know God's still going to make it so you can preserve your life, because He doesn't want to kill people, or everybody. But at this time, you're also, before that happens, you can have the earth being burnt up and all that at the same time. So the earth is going to be burning. You're going to have this immense darkness. And then it says after that, after you see these heavens and the stars come down, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And all those who denied him, and all those who did not accept him, and why are they mourning? Because at that point it's too late to convert. You would have converted before that. Now God's coming to save his elect and punish the reprobate. There's no time for conversion. So that when these people who are on the reprobate, they're not even going to want it because they're ultimately bad will. They're going to look upon this Christ who's going to be the next light that they're going to see in this immense darkness and go, whoa, overawed by it. And at the same time, they're going to realize, oh boy, we're in trouble. It's him. It's the Catholic Christ. It's not the Protestant Christ. It's not the Talmudic Jewish Christ. It's not the Buddhist Christ. It's the Catholic Christ. We're dead. Because he says here they're going to mourn. But we, if we stay faithful, and all the faithful Catholics are not going to mourn, we're going to rejoice. We're going to rejoice like a rejoicing you've never seen before. And the angels would have gathered us together in the Valley of Jehoshaphat to witness this. And then to witness this descent of the New Jerusalem, real temple coming down from heaven to rest where Jerusalem is today. That is the eternal temple on earth. The devil has his false temple going to be built and they're taking his place. He's an ape. But the real Jerusalem we know comes from heaven. St. John talks about it in the book of the Apocalypse, describes how beautiful it is, and says it's coming down from heaven and it's going to land upon the earth. Okay, now this, if you listen to what I'm telling you, you will not be deceived by the Antichrist. You will not go into his camp. But I'll tell you, even if you're listening to me now and you believe what I'm saying, if you don't want to obey God's commandment, that's going to force you to be repelled by what I'm saying, even though you know I'm speaking the truth. So what I'm saying is, it's not enough just to believe what I'm saying, it's to conform your life to the commandments of Almighty God as taught by his Catholic Church. You got to, if you're not Catholic, you better convert and become Catholic, and if you are Catholic, you better live a good moral life, because even bad Catholics go to hell, and they're going to be mourning and shuddering too. Now, so we see where he says, right after that darkness, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the furthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. There's the Habakkuk. There he's going to go around and grab us by our hair and pull us right over there, body and soul. And you're going to find yourself in a twinkling of eye in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, witnessing the second coming and waiting for the general judgment. Because some of the people, when Christ comes the second time, coming, are going to be alive. And St. Paul says those people don't die in the way we know death. They're changed in a twinkling. You may call it, God's going to give you this glorified body, and you're going to have maybe your soul doesn't leave the body. There's a different thing that happens to those people. They're transformed, and they will get their glorified body. They will no longer have the corrupted body, but it's going to be in a different manner in which other people die on. And you're going to read about this in here too, how the Lord separates two. He leaves one behind and takes another. He grabs one body here and pulls in the elect, and he leaves the reprobates behind so that when he scourges the earth, you know, those people are all just totally destroyed. And then once they're killed in that manner, they're brought before the particular judgment, the general judgment also. You know, judged and then given their bodies and thrown back into the pit. But you say here, it says, and he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds to the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. Okay? And when the branch thereof is now tender, and the leaves come forth, you know that the summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that is nigh even at the doors. Again, our Lord telling us this because he wants us to know about it, and he wants us to be ready for it, and he doesn't want us to be fooled by the Antichrist. He wants us to expose his plots, and first and foremost, hold the Catholic faith. And if you do hold the full deposit of the Catholic faith and live the Catholic life, it's impossible that you cannot see the truth. God will enlighten you. You have to. It goes hand in hand. The Catholic faith by itself enables you to open up the key to these mysteries and to see the truth of these matters. Now it says, he says, amen, amen, I say to you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. And by that generation, he means the whole new covenant generation. He says the new covenant will not end until all these things happen. And then when it does happen, and Christ comes the second time, that's the end of the new covenant. There's no more time for redemption and mercy. Those who are saved, and those who are damned, and then we go into the new era, the everlasting era of everlasting life with God or everlasting damnation in hell. And that's what he means by generation. He means the whole new covenant era. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass. The heavens as we know it will pass away. We're going to, he said it, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, they're going to crash. You don't even need them anymore when Christ comes. And the earth itself, as we know it, is going to be burnt up and all the works in it, as St. Peter says. But it's still going to be this earth, but Christ is going to recreate it, and it's going to literally be so beautiful. It's going to be even more beautiful, I believe, in the Garden of Eden. It's going to be heaven and earth united in a way you and I can't even dream of. And that's going to be that what St. John refers to as a new earth. But this is still this earth, though. The devil never wins anything. God's not going to level destroy his creation. He gets destroyed, gets thrown into the middle of the earth, and then earth gets recreated again into its original glory, and even better than that. And so at the end of all things, what does Satan gain? Only those who are worthy of him. Reprobates and evildoers. And he'll be dwelling in the center of the earth in hell for all eternity. So our Lord says, but to that day, okay, now we're going through this thing. And then he talks about Noah, verse 37. As in the days of Noah, shall also the coming of the Son of Man shall be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, even till the day in which Noah entered the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. At the height of the reign of the Antichrist, when he's got all those minions controlling in the world, and they're fornicating, and they're the biggest... It's today, real, not much hard to imagine. I mean, look at the world today. Look at the United States today, you've got a pretty good idea what it's all about. Homosexuals, feminism, pornography, lying, cheating, envy, stealing, murder, drug addiction, alcoholism, we're already there. Well, anyway, this type of a world is considered paradise for sinners. They like it. It's utopia for them because they can do whatever they want. But guess what? At the same time, they believe this is utopia. They're the most miserable people that ever lived. They don't have no true peace. They have temporary moments of pleasures with immense moments of despair and depression and no real peace which Christ gives. But they think, these bums think that this is paradise, and they think that they can make this into a utopia. And they can't do it. There's no way they're going to be able to do it. But the point is this. Right before Christ comes, you're going to think some of these people, maybe they're going to wise up or something. Right before the stars, and when he says before Christ coming, right before the stars, the moon, and all the dramatic things happen, it's still light out, the sun didn't fall, the moon didn't fall, the stars didn't fall. This tribulation, the nuclear war took place, Antichrist is in power, but to them, the good guy won, he's their good guy, because he's going to let them sin. They're going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah, they're going to be sinning like pigs, like before Noah's Ark. And then all of a sudden, suns fall, moons fall, stars fall, earth burns up, Christ comes a second time, it's all over. Close the book, it's done, you're doomed. Antichrist's kingdom is going to be destroyed in a flash. First he gets destroyed via the 3 days of darkness. We'll get into that later, that's not in this verse. But first the Antichrist and the false prophet get destroyed, and I believe the Blessed Mother is going to be the one who God's going to allow her to do that. She's going to come from the tabernacle, because she's God's tabernacle from heaven. She's going to destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet and throw them into hell alive. And then there's going to be a period of time after that, before those that darkness comes, in which God's going to have mercy upon those who want to convert away from the camp of the Antichrist. Because it says at that time that all the kings of the earth are going to mourn, because their big shot, their big boss is now dead. And they're going to start shaking in their boots, because they know they're next. Now there's a period of time, it's in scriptures, and we'll show that elsewhere. It's definitely in scriptures where there's going to be a period of time after Antichrist and false prophet is destroyed, in which God will still then have mercy upon those who want to convert. You're still not going to get that darkness yet, the sun and moon. It's going to be a short period of time, though. It says it in scriptures. And then those who did serve, there's still going to be a chance for conversions then. So anyway, the key here is, these people, up until the final day event of the darkness and the coming of Christ, they're going to be going about their business as usual, sitting like they are today, really, you know, waking up and committing their sins and thinking, this is a great world, boy. You know, homos can get married. I mean, you can have abortions. Feminists can rule their husbands. People can go out and rob and steal from murder. People can murder one another. People can rape and pillage and plunder and look at pornography. These people already are living every day like they're in some type of a paradise. And every time, but at the same time, they know they're not because of the miseries they're in, and they're trying to solve the equation. But most of them aren't going to convert, as we know, and they're going to end up, like Noah's Ark, you know, when it comes, they're going to get hit like lightning, boy. And everybody's judgment is like that. So if you don't, even if you're not living to the end days and you die tomorrow, you got your judgment, man. You got your Jehoshaphat. You got Jesus coming down and judging you right away. You're going to find out that everything you've been doing is not correct. It's wrong, and you're doomed. So everybody's judgment day really is the end of the world for him. And that's important to know. Now, look what our Lord says here. Then two shall be left in the field. One shall be taken, and one shall be left. One shall be picked up by the elect, bringing into the valley of Jehoshaphat for the general judgment. The one that's left behind is the reprobate, in whom then God goes out and destroys all those people and burns them up with fire and destroys them, while he preserves those few of his elect that are faithful at that time, brings them into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and prepares them for the general judgment and the witnessing of the second coming of Christ. You know, so all this thing is a preparation for that. And he says, watch ye therefore, because you know not what hour your Lord will come. And he says, be careful. And one last comment, he says, be careful of the mistake many people make. That's really stupid, because you don't love God. He goes, hey, Christ isn't coming for a long time, so I can go out there and create a ruckus and commit all kinds of sins and wait for he comes and then I'll convert. So the Lord said, don't you dare do that. You better be faithful at all times and be ready for me to come every day. Be prepared for your death even. And he says, because if you're not vigilant and you become lax, and you say, I can go out and carouse around. Now, first of all, good Catholics don't want to carouse. We hate it because sin is hateful. Sin is disgusting. Sin is evil. Sin is like putting your hand in a fire and let it burn. To make people understand who are sinning now, don't look at it like that. To us Catholics, when we get right with God, and we come close to God, and Mary purifies us, we hate sin so much, it's if you may as well put my hand in a fire and just burn it. It's that hateful. It's that disgusting to us. So we don't sin, not because we're afraid of the second coming around, because we love God, we love His commandments, and it's the pure way, it's the holy way. But God still is warning the weaker people, out of the tendency to say, I can continue on sinning till I get that final day sign, and then I can convert. You know? Don't tempt God, because that's a tempting of God. And I had a family member say that to me once. He says, you mean to tell me I can go out and commit all kinds of sins, and then on my deathbed right before that I can convert? I said, no, don't tempt God. Anybody can convert on his deathbed, but just because of what you said, right now, God knows your heart, you're tempting God, he can kill you tomorrow in a car accident, and you're dead and in hell. You're tempting God. And with a heart like that, you'll never get a deathbed conversion. Yes, God will convert anybody on their deathbed, anybody, like the good thief. But your motive has to be right. If it's this type of a motive that I am going to convert, but not until I'm dying so I can continue sinning, guess what? I guarantee you, you ain't going to get a deathbed conversion.
He won't even get a deathbed.
He won't even get a deathbed. He will get an instant death. That's right. And or if he does get it, he's not going to want to convert. Yeah, and that's a temptation of God. So that was the last part in here. So I've given you a little bit about the book of the Apocalypse, and I have a whole bunch of teachings on the apocalypse and how they relate and connect, but when God wills that should come out, I'm going to put that out. But the primary thing first was to get the Catholic dogmas to the people, and this, there's enough I just told you here today to protect yourself against the wiles of all these non-Catholics out there. Don't trust what you hear on TV. Don't trust what these non-Catholic people are telling you. Don't trust what the Vatican II so-called Catholics are telling you, or the traditionalists. They are all a bunch of apostates and heretics, and I will tell you right now, the apostate, these fallen away Catholics who call themselves Catholics, are the most evil people that ever walked the face of the earth. That's how our Lord said, the Gentiles will fall away, but at the same time they're going to pretend to be Catholic. You're looking at it right here today. These are the most evil people on the whole face of the earth. They're the most dangerous, the most stupid, the most evil, and the most wicked. The traditionalists and the so-called Catholics who think they're Catholic, these people are being lined up and they're going to be destroyed by the Antichrist. God's going to rip them to pieces, and then he's going to send them to the everlasting pits of hell. Because they don't ultimately care about Catholic dogmas. Each and every one of them holds on to several different heresies, is immoral in several different ways. So I'm warning the people, don't be fooled by these phony, baloney, so-called Catholics. They're not true Catholics. Our Lord talked about a great apostasy, a great falling away. You're looking at it right now. Now somebody might say, how could that be, Richard? We still have all these Catholics in the world. Guess what? They're not Catholic at all, because they're not holding to the full deposit of the Catholic faith. They're holding on to many heresies that were condemned by past Catholic popes. And that's the end for now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.